Welcome to Medroom Chronicles. Join nurses and other care providers as they let you in on discussions usually reserved for the privacy of the locked medication room. In this weekly nursing podcast, the filters come off and we tell it like it is. Your hosts, nurses Adrienne Benning and Andrew Craig, are here to educate and entertain on all things in the nursing world. This podcast is intended for nursing students, nurses, nursing assistants, and other care providers. Non-medical folk will probably get a kick out of us too. If you like what you hear, subscribe and share. Happy nursing, folks. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Adrienne. I am back again. It's been a little while since I've been around to talk to you, but it's end of the semester, and I have a raging case of senioritis, even though I got one more semester after this. I am actually bringing you a conversation that I had with Andrew, my co-host and co-creator, from back in early April, actually, so it's a little old, but the topics are timeless. Oh, and when we were recording this episode, we had some internet issues, which, you know what, you're not going to notice anything any different, except we have a couple really abrupt changes in topic. So, yeah, let's go ahead and jump on into that conversation.
Hi!
Woo!
Trying to scare you.
Well, I totally wasn't paying attention, but I heard you. I heard the ambiance of your room.
I do have that way about me. It's like
there's a sizzle when you come in the room. There's a little sizzle in the air.
How you been otherwise?
Otherwise good. I've had the laziest month of my life since I graduated nursing school. So there's that.
Yes.
I had some vacation time, had some business to take care of, some school stuff to do, and some fun stuff to do. Mm-hmm. So now it's back to, like, real life. I worked, I think, in the month of March, I think I worked, like, five shifts.
Nice.
Yeah. People were like, do you still work here? Yes.
Wouldn't you like to know?
But I have developed quite the lazy streak, and I've been sleeping at night for a long time. Yes.
Wow.
So I'm still doing the nighttime thing, but that's kind of that part of things. And then at work, coming up at the end of this month, I will be helping to orient my first staff nurse. So
what?
Yeah, on one hand, I've kind of been happy that I hadn't had these responsibilities handed down to me, but I feel like it's time for me to, you know, I'm approaching my second year, which 2 years on an intermediate unit is like 3 or 4 years everywhere else with the amount of stuff that we see. So that's coming, and it's actually someone that I worked with as a nursing assistant, so I already have a, you know, sort of rapport with this person, so
right.
It'll be interesting. So,
well,
yeah.
You can relate to that strange transition of CNA to RN, right? And it's kind of a different role.
Absolutely.
Feeling.
And also, I think that, you know, there's a lot to be said about not just going from a support staff position to like a licensed professional position, but also doing that on the same unit.
Right.
Can have its set of both benefits and challenges.
Right.
You know, on one hand, you know everybody, you know where things are, you know your patients. So you've kind of got a leg up in that respect. But on the other hand, sometimes there are nurses that have a hard time seeing you as a nurse and not just a nursing assistant. So
yeah.
In my early weeks, I had people delegating things to me that I was like, no, I'm not going to go put your patient on a bedpan because I have narcs in my hand. Thanks. Thanks
Stop
a lot. I'm a nurse now.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were a couple people, and I have since, you know, had positive experiences like everybody, but it took people a little bit to be like, oh, okay. I can't delegate to you. And it also was hard because I had a hard time saying no to those things. If I was busy or I was in the middle of giving meds or something like that, to say like, no, you can, you know, and nothing major. If somebody needs help, I'll help them. But you can tell the difference between someone asking you for help and someone trying to delegate to you. So I think that I do have an interesting perspective. I don't know if that's why they put her with me, because we kind of had the same situation, or if it was just, you know, luck of the draw, but yeah, so that's happening. So that's kind of everything that's going on. How about you? It's been a while since we've talked.
Oh, it has been a while. Yeah, a long time. What? Where to begin? Well, I took like a hiatus from online work.
It's always nice to take a break.
You know, what you're going to find is if you get into doing anything online is, I guess the bottom line is some people just aren't very nice. And I needed time to reflect and to basically determine, you know, is this worth it? Is doing online stuff worth the drama and haterade sometimes?
That's because a good question.
It is a damn good question. And the bottom line is, yes, it is worth it, because while there is all that negative crap out there, there is an awful lot of good that happens when people find our stuff. And at bare minimum, it helps people just relate to other people that are going through the same problems. Mm-hmm. But there's so much more good than that. So sometimes I forget how much reach our podcasts and videos and content does. I mean, this touches thousands of lives, thousands. I mean, just if I were to just go to one of my videos, not, this is totally a shameless plug.
That's okay.
My most popular video, I'm just curious, I haven't looked in at least 2 months, how many views, just for the sake of, you know, knowing him, my
right, like a scope, getting second. An idea of a scope here.
So I made this video like 8 months ago. It was my first, it just says over 10,000 views, 10,000 people. Some of them have 5,000, some of them have 3,000, you know.
So yeah, you're being seen by a really wide variety of people in a number of places with different perspectives. Right. And I want to say this, you know, before we get any further into this, but we have to remember that it is worth it, and that the reason that it's worth going at it, despite, I mean, this is essentially bullying. This is nurse bullying. Just because you're online, unless you're genuinely trying to be constructive and you're giving feedback that's not attacking or whatever, but otherwise, like, it doesn't matter that you're 3,000 miles away. That's bullying. So if you want to come at somebody with something that you think is a legitimate argument, do it professionally. Do it as though that person is standing in front of you in scrubs, because anything less is fucking bullying. I'm sorry, but
it is. It's really, and I don't know if it's, it must, I don't know if it's just in nursing. Maybe it's just people in general, but
it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. Okay. It feels like the culture of nursing is prone to bullying, and I have speculation on why that occurs. My take is our work affects us mentally and physically, but it affects us sometimes negatively. You talk about burnout. I liken our work sometimes, you know, depending on your specialty, some of the traumas that we see, I think is up there with like a PTSD. I've said this before.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And those traumas that you see, the pain and suffering you see, we don't always see that, but we see a lot, probably more than not. Mm-hmm. It takes a toll. And I think that translates into a really jaded communication online, sarcasm. And sarcasm's funny. And I'm no saint, because I have made these mistakes myself. I have said sarcastic shit out of anger or being tired or being mentally exhausted from my work. And then I take my frustrations online. And then after the fact, I say, oh, damn, Andrew, that 12-page rant was probably not a good idea. And I don't know. So the bottom line is I love doing this. I really enjoy when I get comments on my stuff and people ask me more questions, and realizing that, you know, we do help educate people and help be some type of support for them. It's pretty exciting.
So, yeah, I do think that it's important that we don't let the bullies win, and that the people that actually want this information and want the discussions and want to share perspectives, they shouldn't lose out because there's a group of people that are just going to be jaded a-holes online.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but so I took a break. I needed a break. I was completely out of any. So I deleted all, I shut off my Facebook, which is really weird. Like
oh my God, I've never done that before.
Right. I don't think I have actually. I didn't answer my emails. I didn't check anything. And it was good. Sometimes we need that, you know, to live mm-hmm. normal life, spend more time. I played a ton of video games, which was awesome.
My God, you should see the stacks and stacks of movies from the library that Doug and I have worked our way through. So yeah. We've been productive as well, but there's been a fair share of couching, Netflixing.
Oh,
Netflixing,
yeah.
Netflix and chill, is that what the kids say?
Well, Adrian, you're not going to believe this. I'm 30 now, okay?
Congrats, welcome. Welcome to this decade.
This smells so nice here. I was, this is so pathetic, Adrian. I was watching live video games with a streamer, and you could do song requests, okay? And I like rap a lot, like hip hop, and I picked just stuff that I really like. And then he says, "Man, you're picking all the classics." What? This was put out like 7 years ago. 6 years. Classics? What does that mean?
I know. I'm to the point now where I say to people, like, a song will come on the radio or we'll click through on YouTube or something, and I'll be like, "I was a sophomore in high school when that song was popular." And I sound like the oldest. I'm going to be 37 in a couple months. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm finally to a point now where, like, yeah, the stuff that I listened to on the regular in high school is now on the classic rock station. I'm like, what? That's not even that. It was.
It'd be illegal.
20 years ago. Yeah. Right. So.
It's a strange feeling. So I just got in touch with my mortality for a fleeting moment there, but I still love my music, right? So,
yeah. So this year is the first year that I haven't been carded regularly. Like, if I go to buy booze, they're not carding me anymore. This is the first year. It took me to 36 3/4 years old.
Hey, that's something.
To not need to pull. And I'm usually standing there holding it because I have such a long history of them being like, "Fork over the ID." And now I'm like eagerly to hand it to them. And they're like, "Nah, it's cool." And I'm
what? We know.
We can see you.
We see your body.
Well, I'm fairly edgy, you know, like, yeah. I'm pierced. I wear weird clothes. I sometimes have purple hair. And still they're like, "Nah, we're good. We're good."
We know the truth, ma'am.
Despite your youthful hair color.
Right.
All right, so let's get down to business. It's been a while since we've recorded an episode. Since you've been on your little hiatus, which is important, and I think everyone would do well to unplug.
I want to show you something really cool. Turn your camera real quick. I should send this to you, actually. I was thinking who I was going to send this to. I'm going to send you a pair of these.
Oh, what's that?
Where are you at here? So, these fancy contraption are called the Multinix. It is a nurse-created tool.
Oh, my God.
Invention. Brand new. Only a few of these on the market right now. Boom. This guy, what the fuck is his name? Hold on. I have to find out now that I bring him up. I'm going to Multinix. Hold on. I connect with, oh, Jesus. I connect with anyone and everyone on LinkedIn. Everyone. If you want to connect with me, boom. We are best friends now. I am a dirty, nasty slut when it comes to LinkedIn connections. And can I type? Yeah, I can type.
Yeah. Here you
go. Check this link out. So that guy is a nurse
And I saw these in, when they were in development, probably, I don't know, five months ago. And I made this really funny joke, like, ha, 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 do you got a review copy for me that I can keep forever? And he's like, maybe. Who are you? I'm like, I'm just Andrew, man. I just like cool shit. And oh, I don't know.
That's
we messaged, but he didn't. We never really connected, you know, ultimately.
Okay. I
was on their email list. I'm like, oh, so I got an email. I said, they're finally in production. And they're like $35. I'm like, man, I really want one because they're just freaking cool looking.
So explain. I see.
Right.
I see some features here.
But he sent
here.
Me two. Your purchase helps us prove we are solving a pain point for nurses. I'm sending two as I'd like to connect with you, and maybe we can get another friend of yours to give us critical feedback. So that's going to be you. If you are interested. So what are they? Well, they each facet of the multi-NICs has a function.
So I want to try to describe this to people that are listening. So are we including this in the podcast or is this off the record?
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Okay. So it looks like a pair of scissors that has been roided out. And I see what looks to me like a seatbelt cutter portion or maybe a fish gutter, depending on whether or not you got. It looks cool. So I'm already thinking I can open packages with this, but I'm sure it's way cooler than I can imagine right now. So please, please continue describing this crazy steroided scissors.
So what I'm thinking is I'm going to send you this pair of great scissors. I'll just overnight it or something. I'll need your address.
Just send it snail mail. It doesn't take that long.
And heck, I'm in Waterloo. So,
yeah.
And then maybe we can make a podcast in a couple months
and talk about it. Mm-hmm.
That, or I was probably going to just make a video about it on my YouTube channel too. Just
I mean,
because,
you certainly can. Yeah. And then we can compare points on the podcast.
Yep. And I'm curious to see, I mean, it's designed to make the nurse's life a little better. And what I like about it is already, you know how sometimes you have a hard time getting caps off stuff?
Uh-huh.
It's got little teeth, scissors, of course.
So it can function as a hemostat, a pair of scissors.
The hemostat is in the handle.
Nice.
So there's the hemostat right there.
And then I'm seeing something that looks like it could probably cut through clothing if it needed
clothing
to.
Or open boxes, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And I was concerned because, you know, was I going to get cut here? But you'd really, really
You'd have to work at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's designed for safety.
That's not a very big space. And then it looks like in the center, that kind of space in the center, it looks like you could use it to open a jar of pickles on your break. I mean, I'm joking. It looks cool.
Seriously.
Here's the thing.
Essence of it was it says a torque opener.
Yeah.
Open medical bottles.
Opening jars. Yeah. So
pump, screws.
Totally.
Or pickles.
Or like, honestly, sometimes this, even though I joke, this looks really cool because sometimes you do have patients that have family members that bring things in and you can't get them open, whatever it happens to be. So I carry like a Batwoman tool belt of stuff in my pockets at all times. And I just recently bought these new scrub tops and I'd like to minimize how much shit is in my pockets. And so an all-in-one tool is really, really piquing my interest right now.
It's very cool. And I'm so glad and very happy and honored, really, that he happened to even send me
absolutely.
Two of them.
Absolutely.
So I'll send you this. Just give me your address when we're done here. And
absolutely.
I'll...
But yeah, I want to try it. So
cool. That's
awesome.
It's called the Multi-NICs. It's by, I forget. I'm terrible.
Oh, here. That's okay.
Wayne Nicks. He's on LinkedIn if you want to connect with him.
Yeah.
I love the idea of nurse inventions. Isn't that fun?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I've always wanted to reinvent the beds. because I think that there are better options. And I also think there are features. Like right now, we got brand new beds. They're awesome in some ways. And in others, I hate them. And I'm like, who designed this? They think this is our, look at all these bells and whistles. Yeah, well, they're fucking hard to use. Yeah. Or like, for example, my number one pet peeve with beds, and then I'll stop with the bed rant. When the railings don't push so far into the frame that you can get beds right up together. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. We have been having a number of technical difficulties with my internet connection, which usually is just fine. So the fact that it's chosen today to show its bad side is not making me happy. So we're going to wait a second here and see if we can get Andrew back on the line. And then we're going to try to get down to business because we have spent an hour at this and all we've done is talk about what we've been doing, which is not hard to talk about for great spans of time.
So we're good.
Yeah. Fucking internet companies.
I think it's a fantastic company. Great support. Super friendly.
Are you high?
High on life. What?
All right. I've actually added to it. So
yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So I know you can't see the list, so I'm gonna steer this ship today. But I wanna do a little bit of fun stuff because we haven't done anything like super kind of fun in a while. And those are the things that I think people really flock to. Those are the episodes that really get a lot of hits.
Okay.
So let's talk about fashionable scrubs.
God, okay.
So partly I find it amusing and funny, but also I think it's a legitimate discussion because now I'm seeing, and God bless every single one of these ladies and gents, but now, you know, there's a lot more like athletic wear, and I've bought some. I'm really excited about it. I can do yoga in my scrubs and still be comfortable. But also, in addition to seeing more like athletic wear kind of scrubs, which I'm all for, like sweat wicking, stretch panels, t-shirt fabric, like yoga pants. But also now, at least in women's scrub, there's now women's scrub fashion. Have you seen any of this, Andrew? Have you witnessed any of the like designer kind of scrubs that are happening here? Have you seen, like, and I'm going to use some terms that Andrew may not know, but there are, like, peplum tops that kind of look like a little bit of a skirt on the top. You can get an umpire waist, which is the one that kind of gathers beneath the boobs. There are now some interesting collars where you can have little, like, sweetheart necklines or, like, interesting things that kind of look like, it looks like a choker, but then there's like a cutout, modest, not like titty popping, but like, you know. And we're also seeing pants that have like exposed gold zippers and like asymmetrical necklines and cap sleeves. And what tell me, what is, I know that you're a dude, but what is the dude's perspective on designer scrubs?
And I'm
making fun of it, but like I also have some of these things.
I understand that I have a very narrow mind when it comes to fashionable scrubs, and the reason is I'm not a very fashionable guy as it is. I go shopping maybe once every 3 or 4 years for clothes, and that's it. So when it comes to scrubs, the essence of scrubs is to prevent and have a disposable pair of clothing so that if we get, you know, pooped or peed on or blood on us, we can just get rid of it. Now, does that mean that those can't be good looking? No, it doesn't mean it. For instance, I saw a guy from All Nurses, in fact, that had a romper. Did you ever see, like,
Yes, that's Nurse Blake.
Yes.
He reminds me of Brad, my BFF in the whole world. So. Yep. So
oh, I see.
If Nurse Blake ever comes across this recording, he should know that we're like destined to be best friends because I feel like I already know him because he looks and acts just like my best friend who also is a male nurse. So I think that, yeah.
Yep. I understand.
I'm fangirling a little bit. But yes, he has the romper. He did the romper video. He has so many good videos. I'm gushing, but he's awesome. I love him. But Andrew, are you saying that you're going to, that you want a romper?
Well,
you want a custom romper?
So here's another thing is those types of clothes, designer, even in normal designer clothes are often catered to a people of a particular body type or body size. Now, I will say that and I'm a big guy. I mean, I'm a very large person, and I mean, I'm well over 300 pounds. So in normal life, I have to go to like your big and tall store at this point in my life, because anything else in normal stores just isn't comfortable for me. So
when
I see those types of things, it makes me kind of chuckle, because I'm thinking, I feel like we have more important shit to worry about than our designers.
True, but let me paint this picture. Let me paint a perfect world, because I'd like to see it go this way, and it is going this way, because scrub companies, especially some of the quote unquote like designer scrub companies, are also starting to cater to larger sizes. Now they still have a long way to go to be inclusive for everyone, but they are moving in that direction. And so I want to put the pressure on the companies to cater to folks who need different measurements or different. But imagine that you lived in a world where you didn't have to go to the big and tall store and pick from the four types of pants that they had. Right. Imagine you had choices with cool pockets, cool stitching, well made. I can see how, from your perspective, you might be like, whatever, I buy the $12 scrubs. I throughout nursing school wore shitty, like big box store scrubs and hated it, because I felt, I mean, I don't need to feel pretty at work. I'm there to work, but nobody wants to feel unattractive when you're dealing with other professionals. Like, we already fucking wear pajamas to work. Like, let's give ourselves, like, I love scrub pants that are like they're actual scrub pants, but like they have like a zipper fly instead of like an elastic waist, in which I feel like I'm wearing my grandmother's pants. Like, so I think that we need to be careful that we're not like hypersexualizing nurses, because we've been working for a long time to do the opposite and like desexualize our profession. But also, like, if I have a top that has like a cute neckline and some extra like I like gear, though. Like, I like having a clip where I can like clip my light and clip my badge and multiple pockets and like a little pocket that I can put my caps in and like a stretchy pocket on my side hip. Like, I want two cargo pockets. I basically want to wear a flight suit. And in one of those pockets, I'm going to put these blue scissors that we were talking about. What's it called? The
multi-Nix.
The multi-Nix. Oh, I get it, because his last name is Nix.
Right.
Got it. Made the connection.
When you say hypersexualize, you must be referring to the perception, the sexy nurse perception, where like Halloween costumes are really slutty looking.
Right. Like tight, low cut, latexy. Like, we don't want to get into that territory. So I just mean, like, we want to make sure that, yes, you can have a sweetheart neckline. It needs to be a modest neckline, because you're doing active work. You're bending over. So I think that these scrubs are beautiful. And also, I think that we also have to remember that nurses work in a lot of different settings. So while you and I are like, well, I'm not going to pay $50 for a shirt that I'm just going to get shit on in 3 days. Right. But some nurses work in like plastic surgeons' offices, or are like home care nurses, or, you know, have a low level of ick associated with their roles. Right. But even so, like, I keep an extra set of scrubs in my locker, but I still want to wear scrubs that I find comfortable, attractive, and have like the tool belty aspect of things. So if I could buy a scrub top that had like 75 pockets in all different places, I would be in heaven.
So I just Googled what we're trying, because I guess I'm not aware of what we're talking about here completely.
So describe to me some of the things that you're seeing right now.
Adrian, this is pretty silly, but I mean, I guess I'm just going to send you the link, because I want to make sure that we are both on the same page.
That you didn't just stumble onto a naughty nurse costume page.
Right. Here we go. Here's the link.
All right, Janu.
Yes, Janu is one of them. And the other thing I want to say is that these companies are really developing and catering to a niche, because now they're also, like, for a while, yes, this is exactly what I'm talking about. So it is and I know a nurse online that I've spoken to briefly that is an ambassador for some of these companies and wears similar clothing. And on one hand, I really like it. And it's modest, you know, it's not, you know, she's not got the cleavage popping. The fabric looks really soft, but essentially it looks like a high collar, an elastic, you know, like a stretchy collar. Kind of sexy, but also she's fully covered. She's not gonna flash anything she's not supposed to. And it's a 3/4 length sleeve, which I really like, because I get cold in short sleeves at night, but I don't want long sleeves to get dirty. So, like, there are things like this that, as a woman, I'm looking at this and going, this looks functional, this looks attractive. Like, right. And then the back has a long zipper that's an exposed zipper, which is like a trend in fashion right now, that kind of high metallic colored zipper. So anyway, yes, this is one of those things. You can also, if you were to shop around this website, you would see, like, really beautiful floral prints. Like, it, you know, like, there's one that I think reminds me of Melania Trump's inauguration dress. It's like blue, and it's here, let me send you the link to this. Oh, I'm like, goodness. This looks like
so.
Anyway, the point is that we have more choices now. We don't have to wear the unisex, one size fits all, you look like you're wearing a pillowcase.
Right.
But I think we got to be careful. We got to make sure that we are not, that we're not looking costumed, that we're not going back to an era where we have to be pretty in addition to being competent healthcare professionals. But also, I'm like, ooh, I like that blue color. I mean, I have to wear the color that my employer has assigned to me.
Like,
the pants that I wear have a yoga pant waist. So they're not like yoga pants in a sense that, like, you can see every nook and cranny, because I don't believe, like, they're slacks. But, like, the waistline is like a 3-inch wide elastic band, which doesn't sound comfortable. It's not super tight. But basically, I don't ever have to worry about my ass crack showing. Never, ever, ever. I could be doing chest compressions for days and nobody is ever going to see the color of my underwear. And I really like that. But also, they're cute, you know, and they make my tummy look a little flatter. So I think that there's form and function, but it's more and more common as I work longer as a nurse and as these brands become more popular. So I can make fun of them in some ways, but truthfully, I think it's kind of cool, you know. There are options for guys, too. Granted, limited. A lot of these are geared towards, like, athletic wear. Like, another brand that I really like, and actually Brad bought a couple of these tops. I bought a couple tops. I actually exchanged them for a size up. But check out Biomed Scrubs. Is that what they're called? Hold on. No, Benefit. Benefit Medical. So this is not sponsored by them. They don't know who I am or that I exist. But I recently ordered a pair of their Stealth Scrubs. And they're an example of a company that's listening to nurses. Like, originally, they were making scrubs that had, like, the black side panels, like the stretchy kind of breathable side panels. And they had a big logo on the sleeve. Well, they heard from enough nurses that they can't wear them because they can't have the black panels and they can't have the logo, because their institution won't allow it. So they made the Stealth line that doesn't have all of that extra detailing on it. They're just one solid Benefit Scrubs.
Benefit Scrubs. Let's see what we're dealing with here.
So I bought a pair, or I actually bought two shirts, and they arrived and they fit me. The fabric was a dream, but they run a little snug, and I'm a more amply chested woman, and I ain't trying to make it look like I'm going to work with too tight of clothing. So I exchanged it for a size up, but when I think about when I'm running my ass off and how much I sweat at work and how gross I feel. And then I put this shirt on and I was like, oh my God, it's like wearing a t-shirt with like five pockets. So it was amazing. So far I haven't worn them to work, but Brad has them. He really likes them. And so, yeah. Companies like this, their clothing is like water resistant, but it's not the kind that like is impregnated with shit. So you don't have to worry about them eventually, like not doing what they claim to do in terms of waterproof. So anyway, I think it's interesting to see how, the appearance of nurses is changing yet again. Like, we can talk about how nurses used to wear dresses and heels and tights and caps that probably fell off and got dirty all the time. But like, now we're in an era where you can go to the gym in your scrubs. And let me just tell you a secret. I don't like wear dirty gym scrubs to the gym, but like my scrub pants are so comfortable that I totally get on the treadmill in my scrub pants. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, the short story is, to me, I probably won't partake just because I don't care enough.
And that's okay too.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah,
just not. I just wanted to talk about it because I think it's an interesting phenomenon. I think it's an interesting social phenomena of nursing.
And I wonder if it's going to be kind of a cultural shift or a norm, almost expectation that nurses become this fashionable person at work. Like they're, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Oh, but also, so on one hand, you know, I've talked before in some episodes about appearance and how if I'm doing a good job, it shouldn't matter if my face is shiny and my hair is a little bit messy because I'm working hard. Mm-hmm. But also, like, if I was working or if I was a patient and like my doctor came in or my nurse came in and they looked like their clothes were like four sizes too big or too small, or, you know, they look like they had just rolled out of bed or didn't look like they had showered that morning, I might be like, I don't know exactly what my reaction would be, but it would be that of, I don't know. I feel like, you know, some days it happens. Some days you don't get to wash your hair before work and life goes on and you still take good care of your patients. But if my doctor came in and he looked like he was wearing clothes that didn't fit him, I'd be like, you're a doctor. look presentable, please.
Please, please. What's the next one on the list?
All right. So let's do something that's, let's see. Oh, actually, because we're talking about, you know, we talked about the multi-nix nursing tool. Let's talk about what some of your favorite tools or equipment or items at work are to use. Like, are there anything like, I know some people love the vein finders that we have. Yeah. Some people really hate them. Are there any things that like you use on the regular or that maybe you use more than other people? Like some people, they are eager to pull out a Doppler. Oh, you can't feel that pulse? I'm going to Doppel every pulse you have. Oh, you haven't peed in 45 minutes? Let's bladder scan you. Are there any tools that you get like that you're eager to use or you enjoy?
You know, it's silly, but I guess not. My tool is my brain sheet. So as a travel nurse, I go from place to place to place to place. And every place has their own reporting system. Even floor to floor is different. And their own brain. And so when I show up on a unit, it's my way to stay organized no matter what system they use, how I get report from the other nurse. I know how to organize the information that feels comfortable to me. And for all the newer nurses or nursing students that are listening to this, I highly recommend you start thinking about a brain of some type. Some people call it the S-bar. Some people call it, the face sheets. Or what's another one? Because sometimes Epic or Cerner, that's a whole other beast entirely. Did I tell you that Waterloo has Cerner?
No, but I think I used that at one of my hospitals, maybe.
Let me just tell you, Epic is Epic for a damn good reason. Completely off topic. I like to use good electronic health record software.
Holla!
Holla!
That's an important tool. That's like a critical tool.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, Adrian.
I will not name the hospital, but I did clinicals at a hospital that charting software look like a web page from 1994.
Oh, yeah.
And it ran about as fast.
Yep. Yep. So aside from that, I mean, I love a damn good pen. Not the pen that smudges, but just a good smooth pen.
No, a good smooth. See, I like a really, like, I like micro point pens because I take report. Everything I do is small. I print my report sheet small. People always comment on it, but I always print two page. Like, I print out my report sheet, or not my report sheet, my med sheet, and I print them two to a page. So I can carry one piece of paper with four pages of med sheets on it. And some of the older nurses look at that and they go, oh my God, I could not read that if my life depended on it. But that's an important tool for me, is to have that. I take report the same way. And my report sheet was actually developed by my assistant nurse manager, who was my preceptor when I first came out onto the unit. But she created a sheet that not only made sure you got thorough report, but then when you give report, you just have to follow the flow of the sheet. And so even if you're terrible at giving report, it does all the thinking for you. You just work your way through. And I made some modifications to me, but, you know, I know some people, the other tool that I really love, which is silly, I bought a pair of EMT shears, but they're like 2.5 inches long. They're really, well, maybe like 3 or 4, because 2.5 inches is not very big, but they're maybe 4 inches long. So they're like my little itty bitty scissors. And there could be 40 pairs of scissors laying on the table, and I'm still going to root around in my pocket for my little scissors because I fucking love them.
Aside from that, I don't really have. I carry a carpi jet with me at all times, even though, you know, I don't know. I think at University of Iowa, they're disposable, so they just throw them away after each patient.
Yeah, they say that until the OmniCell is empty and we don't have any, and then we have to start. You just got to clean them. Just clean them really well. You're not using them to wipe somebody's butt. Like, clean them.
And then obviously a good stethoscope. So what good to me is not necessarily good to you, or not you, Adrian, but just the people that are
the listening. Royal you.
Right. So I just bought a Littmann just off of pure reputation. I mean, when you think of stethoscope, I think of Littmann. And I've bought 3 different cardiology Littmanns over the last 5 years. What I found is the bleach wipes wear on the plastic and they crack eventually. And if you leave your stethoscope outside in your car a few times, it can crack the rubber.
Yeah, so. Don't ever. Like, for a while, like, there was one afternoon that I was rooting through my bag. I don't usually bring my stethoscope home with me, but I had thrown it in my bag somehow. And just to get them out of the way, I put them up on the rearview mirror of my car. And after about 10 minutes, I think I went into the grocery store and I was like, oh my God, I left it up there. No way. That can't hang up there. Because it's contrary to my personality, which is maybe why I like it, but I have a hot pink stethoscope and I have a tracking device on it so that if I like lose it in a pile of blankets, I have a tile, a little.
Do you really?
Yeah, because you know what? And it saved my ass so many times because I will have left it somewhere or I've gone into somebody's room or a blanket gets thrown on top of it. And I go to my phone and I push a button and my stethoscope plays a little ditty. And usually the patients, if they hear it, they go, oh, I wondered what that music was. And it's then I can walk around the unit listening for my stethoscope. Granted, I'm not going to do it at like 4 a.m. because that would be a rude way to wake somebody up. But this way I don't lose my $140 stethoscope, you know, because despite having a good job with a salary, I can't just drop money like that. So I lose things there. I have a tile on my keys so I can find my keys, my phone, my stethoscope, my iPod, all from each other.
I have the tiles, but I don't even know where they went. I used to have one in my phone.
Oh my God,
case.
I love them. I love them.
Yeah. What else?
So I guess those are my tools. So let's see. There's a lot. I got a lot of really like kind of heavy stuff on here. I was trying to keep this one kind of light. you got any recent pet peeves that we could talk about?
Oh, let me think.
I know I'm catching you totally off guard here. I do want to give you a heads up. I think that the next time we talk, we should do the poopisode. that we talked about way back in the early days.
Yes,
and
yes.
We should have just like a poop fest of stories and anecdotes. Because here's the thing. Maybe we can talk about this for a second, lead into that epic episode. I have a personal blog that's not right now associated with Medroom Chronicles, although I'm trying to like move content over so it's all in one place. Uh-huh. But my most popular blog, they get many hits a day. I mean, we're not talking like hundreds of hits, but I get at least 3 to 10 people a day that look at my blog post on management of rectal tubes. And so I find I have here. Let me see if I can pull up the link real quick. You might have to listen to some clicking. So
I actually have two great stories already.
So maybe we'll make this a sneak peek to the poop episode. But I have a blog. It's a WordPress blog. It's Night Nursing Nuances. And I totally did a blog post like a while ago on my tips. Really, they're just, it's like a focus on the basics with also some little like hints in there on how to manage, I think it's called like how to manage a leak-free flexi seal. And that one is like my claim to fame. That's the one that everybody is like, hey, yeah, that's what we want to read. But anyway, you have stories. So while I look this up, please bestow upon us your experiences with that, which everyone does.
You know what I should do? As opposed to spill the beans, I should get Sarah on here because she actually has some really good stories. And I can tell you why. It's because of 6JC. She has some wicked stories.
Oh my God. I have some of the worst stories that I have are from that unit as well. That is the that is the neurosurgery/neurology unit.
Yes, yes.
And let me tell you, some of the most wicked poops I've ever cleaned up in my time on this planet were on that unit.
On neurosurgery.
So maybe Sarah and I, one day, if you can get her, we could go toe-to-toe and we could just
She would be a hilarious guest because it would actually be the first time that, Sarah and I have done a thing online. I think I did a Facebook Live once, kind of on the whim, but... or on the fly, but are you game if I could convince her?
Please, yes. Please convince her.
Please,
Sarah, okay. If you're listening, we will make it so easy on you. You will be our guest of honor. Andrew will bestow upon you like a wonderful shoulder massage afterwards to reward you. It's going to be so good.
And if folks don't know, my wife, Sarah, is a registered nurse as well. So
a great nurse. Yeah. So, Just to let you know, already today, I mean, granted, the day is mostly done, but I like the leak-free flexi seal post got 2 hits today. Hardly anyone else looks at any other posts, although I have some other posts that do well. But basically, like, my annual total for this flexi seal post is like almost 100 views.
What?
On like 5 tips on how to keep the poop in the tube, basically.
Actually, one of my stories is related to a rectal tube. So
for those of you that don't know, students or people that are lucky enough to work jobs where you don't have poop shoots, basically what it is when you have a patient that has frequent or continuous liquid stools, that after a time, either they're hemodynamically unstable and you can't move them every 5 seconds when they poop, or their skin is breaking down, or it's constant. So for dignity and skin protection and keeping them in one spot, you have a long tube that's connected to a bag. It's a long plastic. I don't know what it's made out of. Like, it's a super stretchy, indestructible tube. There's a balloon at the end. It looks like a donut. You shove it up the butt gently, nicely, with an ample amount of lube, because we're not cruel. And then you fill the tube with warm water. God, I hope it's warm. Don't fill my rectal tube with cold water, guys, if it ever comes to that. And then you fill it up with water, and that tube then stays in place. And when they have liquid poops, instead of going all over their skin in the bed, it goes down the water slide. There's no water. It goes down the slide into the bag. And they are notorious for leaking. And then you poop everywhere anyway. So that's just not ever what you want. So yeah, I have, I've got the, here, I'm right here. I've got a lot of podcasts or a lot of blog posts here. You guys should go look at it. But it's Night Nursing Nuances. And it's called Nurse Pro Tips, Leak-Free Flexi Seal. So yeah, that's the one that has made me not at all famous, but everybody seems to like it. So you guys should check that out.
On a side note, I am
Change the subject, please. God.
Well, no, it's fine. It's I'm looking at the MRC website and it's looking pretty solid.
Oh, because you know what? There was one night that I was like, I'm just gonna change the background, and I destroyed the website. I fucking trashed it. It looked like shit. And I've been looking at statistics, and most of the people that listen on their phones. And so I was like, great, it won't load on a phone. It looks like garbage. You can't read anything. And looks like I'm not going to bed tonight. So I spent like 13 hours. I was like a mad scientist holed up in the Medroom Chronicles headquarters, praying that no one was looking at the site as I was trying to get it right. So let's talk about, let's see. Oh, let's talk about this. So it's recently become a topic.
No, I mean, I kind of, okay. Completely random thought.
Go for it.
I want to do my, just go do mine after yours.
Well, you interrupt me to say that you want to go second.
I know.
That was going to be the way it was in the first place.
Okay, that is serious-ish, but, okay, drug diversion.
Ew.
Ew.
No, I mean, ew, but I just, that, yeah, let's talk about that.
Because
it's not worth it, people.
It's a very real thing.
This is not Nurse Jackie. Let's not romanticize this shit.
Right.
Like, if you need a Tylenol, maybe, but don't fuck around. Don't play. It's not worth it.
I mean,
really.
Even Tylenols, right? I mean, if you get caught slipping anything, a Tums, for God's sake.
Well, I guess I don't even know why I said that, because I have an over-the-counter bag.
Yeah.
Like, I carry fully self-sufficiently contained with my over-the-counters, but it's just, like, I almost go to the Pyxis as though I'm being searched by the police. Like, nothing up my sleeve. Hands out,
seriously,
not going in my pockets, because there was once years ago that I went into the bathroom on the unit that I was working. I was a floater. I'm not going to say where I was, but I went into the bathroom and it looked like somebody had emptied the contents of their pockets onto the little shelf under the mirror over the sink. Yep. And there was, like, you know, a pen, scissors, whatever. And then there were narcs just laying there. And I was a nursing assistant at the time. And I was like, oh, this is bad. And I went to the charge nurse. I walked straight. I didn't even go to the bathroom. I just, like, picked them up, walked to the charge nurse, and was like, I just found these in the bathroom. The nurse grabbed them from me and said, thank you for telling me. I think I know what's up. I'll take care of it. And I never found out what happened or, like, what became of that. But this charge nurse was like, all right. So don't fuck around, guys.
Seriously. Don't. Yeah. So it actually makes me feel very uncomfortable that the current assignment that I'm on does not have cameras in front of the Pyxis. It's very uncomfortable. It's actually a little strange. So whenever I pulled out narcotics, I would always at the very end show what I pulled out. Like, I put my hands well in front of the cameras and I'd flip them up and down, because I want people to know that I didn't slip any drugs out of there. But the thing is, you know, our actions are severely tracked. And here's another thing is, okay, so every time that Pyxis is accessed, a button is pushed, they know, they can run reports on you and know exactly, even if it's not narcotics, everything that you do that has to do with technology, computers.
Every colace you've taken.
Right. Here's the problem is I have, even with Epic, okay, I know for a fact that I scan 99.99% of my medications in. But there's always a technological glitch. And I don't know, sometimes it happens very rarely. And I have found after the fact, say like 2 hours later, I know for damn sure that I scanned that in, but that the pill was not in the PRN section. So I had to go back and add it as a manual scan or a manual given, which, you know, isn't the right thing to do. And I know that's like big no-no at U of I because they track every possible scan you do.
Yep.
And so it's really a good idea.
I think I got a nasty gram from someone in an office when my percentage slipped to 97.
Yep.
Because sometimes you get like the inhalers and the mouthwashes and shit, and the label is like wet, ripped off. Well, you know, like not ripped off because I wouldn't use it if it didn't have a label. But you know what I mean? Like the thing's not fucking scanning. You're standing there. Beep, beep, beep. Fuck.
Yep. Yep, and it's a really wise idea to have it to get into, and honestly, I could be better at it, is if you have to deal with narcotics, you better make sure that shit's scanned in, because there have been nurses that have been reported to the Board of Nursing over stuff like that, even when it's not their fault. It's kind of a hush-hush thing regarding, and that's a whole other topic in itself, is interaction with boards of nursing, because those people are not our friends. They are there to protect the public. And if they get reported to, your ass is grass unless you have a lawyer, because you're unlikely going to be going away from the Board of Nursing without at least a reprimand if you were reported, even if it wasn't your fault, because that's their job and that's what they're designed to do. And so I'm just like, with narcotics, God, I don't know. It's like I'm so edgy when it comes to that stuff because I know how tightly regulated that stuff is. And when you're working on a trauma unit or an ortho unit or a palliative unit, you are pushing massive amounts of narcotics all the time. And
it's the same with our PCAs. I mean, there have been patients that I've taken care of, like end of life patients, that are on mega, like you wouldn't even think they're on. I think granted it wasn't the record for this patient, but the record for me was there was one night that I gave a patient, I believe it was 86 milligrams of Dilaudid over the course of that shift. Stop and that him. Person, dude, that he was a solid dude, but then he lived many more days after that. He was a palliative patient, but I came back in the next day and had to go in it wasn't my patient, but had to respond to the alarm on the beeping pump, and they had upped the dose, didn't depress his respiratory. I mean, this guy probably had incredible, unbelievable amounts of pain. But yeah, for me, my record was 85 milligrams in an 8-hour shift.
Of Dilaudid.
In a PCA, I was changing this because the basal rate was, I can't even remember what the basal rate was, but the basal rate was like mega, mega dose. Like they had pain service working on it. They had, I think this person then had a drip of some sort as well. Yeah. But that for me was terrifying. So I'm totaling this out going, oh my God, I'm legally documenting that I gave this human who's alive and looks comfortable and is breathing at like 18 a minute. I've given them 85 milligrams of medication that's like 100 times the strength of morphine, and he's doing okay.
That just goes to show. I mean, I've never given that amount. I've given 80 milligrams of morphine in a
shift. But Dilaudid,
that's a beast. And so we talk about respiratory depression, like, ooh, respiratory depression with narcotics. I mean, yeah, it's important. But I just want to say it's amazing how much the human body can tolerate before depression comes in play.
Yeah, especially if you have someone who, for example, I mean, it wasn't this patient, but like, say, someone who has been going through painful cancer experiences, or people who have had major abdominal. I mean, you think of the pain that people experience and how much tolerance they develop. And then you also have to think about people that are doing street drugs. And what we consider to be a lethal dose is like what they worked their way up to just recreationally. And so, granted, that's a really high amount of a very potent drug. But like I took someone in with me when I cleared the pump and totaled it out, because I was like, you're seeing what I'm seeing? Okay, just making sure. And I'm charting exactly what we're seeing on the pump. Because yeah, you've got to be really careful. You know, that's your license. That's your reputation. Right. So getting back to the original kind of point of all this is that it's also really difficult, and I don't even know where to go with this, but it's also really difficult when you're someone who suspects that someone that you work with is diverting. And I've heard other professionals, not that I've worked with, but like on podcasts or YouTube videos, talk about how they discovered that someone that they never suspected, like, you know, elderly veteran nurse, mom of two, oh, that friendly guy who seems like he's got his shit together. And then you find out that they've been diverting for years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Nurse Jackie, while not entirely based in reality, you know, addresses that issue of a nurse who, you know, they don't have a Pyxis in place. And then I remember the episode where she walks in and she sees the Pyxis and she's like, oh, fuck, how am I going to fudge those numbers? Because it's true. They track every fingerprint, every keystroke. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I want to say to people, like, if you are diverting drugs, get some help. Like, please don't throw away your career, the rest of your salary, your benefits, everything that you. But nursing school ain't easy. Don't fuck around. And, well, you know,
I know you say that, but addiction, heroin, I mean, you talk about opiates.
And I get that. That's why I'm saying, like, you know, we've got to, instead of being punitive, we need to help people get away from this shit because, yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is it's kind of like what they tell you when, you know, what my dad used to say when I was a kid was don't ever start smoking because once you start, that's it. And then I spent 10 years as a smoker and it, you know, I didn't learn that lesson, but in the same way, it's like, resist that temptation. If shit's bad, go to a doctor. We are nurses. You know, utilize these services because beyond that, like beyond the punitive side of it, the punishment and the negative effects of addiction. Also, A, you could kill someone, because you're fucked up and doing things like putting meds in their veins. And two, whose meds did you take? Who's in pain now because you, or who's having anxiety now because you took their benzo or whatever. Right. So it's not just the one person that's affected, or, you know, then the cost of drugs goes up because we're losing money because somebody's, you know, taking drugs. So, yeah, I mean, this is an entirely bigger issue than what we can really attack in the, you know, the short time that we spend on these topics.
Right. You know, when I was working at the nursing home, there was a nurse that amazingly, I don't know how it worked out, but she was fired and then rehired because in the nursing home, narcotics use, we still give a lot of narcotics in the nursing home, but it's all hard copy. It's all, it's not like it's in a computer.
It's like a hard copy MAR. Like, and the little boxes, you initial that you could barely even read the initials.
And when you have, you know, an end of life patient or a hospice patient, whatever, you're giving morphine, Roxanol, liquid. And it's the highly concentrated stuff. It's the 10 milligrams per mil.
And it just absorbs right in under the tongue, right?
Yeah, or it's a 20 milligrams per mil. You know, and those little bottles aren't accurate. So it's like, it was crazy, unfortunately, because you have these little notches on the side of the bottle and it's trying to say, oh, is that six? Is that seven? I mean, it was really hard to read.
Who knows? Who knows? Right.
And it was very uncomfortable. I mean, you could always track pills, but we had liquid Roxanol and liquid lorazepam. And that was almost impossible to measure super accurately. So the hospitals really have it down pat. I mean, there's only one way to divert it. I mean, as far as on like the bedside nurses, which is say you've given something and you didn't. And that is the thing is addiction overcomes people sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the Nurse Jackie is definitely fictional, but it exists. And
absolutely. And I'm not saying that that's entirely unrealistic. And as someone who's never battled with addiction, it's ignorant of me to try to speak to, oh, it's just easy. Just get some help. Like, I understand it's far more complex than that, more than I even understand. But at the same time, like, you've got something has to be done because, right. You know, we are now moving more and more to systems where they can track everything you do. Some of these places are not going to fall into place. They're still doing paper charting and, you know, there's still not a whole lot of accountability, but people right. are dying from this shit. Right. Like, it's not, right. it's, well, so don't waste all your hard work.
Regarding tracking, at the current assignment that I'm at, it's kind of fascinating. They have these little cards that connect to your IDs behind them. And every time you walk into the room, they're tracking that. So they can tell how long it was
before. Oh, I hate that shit.
It's like, really? Really? You know, they want you to do the every hour rounding. Well, what if you're coding someone, you know?
And, yeah. What,
right. What if there's a rapid response?
Exactly. Like that, you're going to ding me because I didn't cross the threshold of a door. Guess what? I can see that patient from the 5 feet away where I've been sitting for the last hour. Every time they fart, I hear it.
Right.
Like, I don't need to get up and step, you know, like I do my hourly rounding. But the other thing is that when you work like on a unit like I'm on, the acuity level is very different. So if I have a patient that literally is there for IV antibiotics, they're 100% independent. They're reliable for reporting things that are important and are really needing to get some friggin' sleep so they can go do all their tests and blah, 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 blah the next day. If the patient says to me, I'd like to get some solid sleep. I slept like shit last night. You know, can you minimize traffic into the room? I don't need to open that door every 65 minutes to make sure that completely oriented, independent, sleeping patient. Because guess what? Our doors are loud. They squeak. Our hallways are loud. It changes the light. It changes the airflow in the room. And it wakes them up every time. And then I get screamed at.
Right.
So how is that therapeutic? Like, right. If it's someone that needs hourly rounding, I am there. Okay, but if you're going to tell me that I have to be in a particular quadrant of the unit to get credit for the work that I'm already doing, that to me is not trusting your nurses. There are a lot of controls and like things that I think are monitored and I'm fine with it. But when you start telling me like you were in the bathroom for 4.5 minutes, you didn't check on your patient this hour, 70...
I laugh, but that's not unreasonable.
Well, I used to work in a call center, and I did have my bathroom breaks timed. And as someone, I'm completely serious. So if you were off the phones I worked 7.75 hours a day at that job. And if I was off of the phones for more than the allotted, and then I would clock out for breaks. But if I was off the phone for too long, they would say like, we need to have a talk about your call work time, aka the time that you're not on the phone.
Uh-huh.
So I've worked in situations where they micromanage every pee you take. And I'm sorry, but I am an educated, licensed professional. Are you going to do that to the doctors? I have a patient who hasn't seen their doctor in 3 days. Where's their tracking device? So, I'm getting a little defensive here, and I don't mean to call out the doctors.
Oh.
But like, stop making every step a nurse takes a subject of review.
It's robotics. Like they literally want machine. If there was machines that could do the nurses, they would already have replaced the 2 million nurses that are in the workforce. I'm telling you, it's like the expectations. It's really bizarre and sometimes very unreasonable. On a lighter note, well, sort of lighter, when you talk about physicians and the lack of them being around, okay? We want to talk about pet peeves, okay? I have zero control on when a physician is going to be at a bedside, ever. I never know. I could call them, I could page them, but to page them or call them to figure out when you're going to be here, unless it's an emergency, is not going to happen. It's not reasonable.
But patients expect that. Like, if you can't pull them out of your pocket, if you can't fart a doctor into fruition, then you are looked at as they think you're not paging. They think you're not sending the requests. Right. They think that you're not. I cannot make any person do anything they don't want to do. And if they're busy, I cannot summon them. Right. I need you to come to room 16 because your patient has a question about that medication that you prescribed that you didn't tell them anything about.
I mean, that's so common. That is so, or the flip side, changing their home meds or the timing of that. It's like, well, and that's a whole nother story in itself. Like when they're admitted and the work, what pharmacy does, blah, 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 the med rec, all that crap. We don't have to talk about that. But the bottom line is people and people, I mean, the general public, nurses do not know when physicians are going to be at bedside for the most part. So it's just best not to just wait.
So I have one disclaimer, and that is that the physicians that work on my unit that are on my service are exceptional. And they are usually very present, and patients talk about them by first name like they've been BFFs forever. And some of them, you know, have been their patients for decades. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had a patient the other day that was like, oh, I remember when that doctor was pregnant with our first daughter. And it's like, well, I don't. So yeah, sometimes, you know, there are those exceptions, and I want to give a shout out to our docs because they do. But like when you're working off service, or like it's a service that you don't normally work for or work with, and then the patient's like, well, when do they round? When you see 15 of them in your room, right. You'll know.
Right. That is the truth. They don't have schedules. They do kind of their own thing.
And I get that that's important. Like they have a whole world of responsibilities that I know nothing about. I'm not trying to dump on the doctors, but I want doctors to understand that from the nursing perspective, patients think that we can just like pull up a screen and Skype you in any second of the day.
completely. Also, I kind of in the segue to that, do you guys have tablets yet for your patients? Is that coming?
The clinics have tablets for like check-in that I've used myself as a patient, but on the inpatient setting, we do not. However, one of my nursing assistants that I work with was recently in the hospital for a length of time. I shouldn't say recently. I think it was last year now officially. But anyway, she was Snapchatting me the tablets that they had. So she was inpatient. She mm-hmm. could look at her labs and her medical records on her tablet that was mm-hmm. programmed when she was inpatient. She could call out to the nurse's station and specify her request via tablet mm-hmm. so that it routes to the right professional. So pain requests go to the nurse, toilet requests go to whoever is available. So yes, she sent me this and I was like, oh my God, the tech nerd in me is suddenly dying inside that we don't have these.
Anyway, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I can never tell because, you know, with our internet today.
So I keep muting it. Oh, I know. Okay. Guys, we had to record this in 5 separate segments, so I'm going to have to go back and piece this together. I have never had such internet issues while doing an interview, and for a minute, I was really frustrated. So I'm glad that it panned out. Thank you for sticking with me on this very long journey.
Yes.
I think that the next time we talk, I would like you to prepare for the poopageddon, the poopisode, the poop.
I'll get Sarah on this action. We're gonna have a poopalooza. That's what yeah. It's gonna be epic.
Any parting words for our listeners? It's been a little while since you've been here. Anything else that you're dying to say?
I just that I appreciate all the folks out there. It's fun. We enjoy this. I hope it provides some value. I don't know what I could possibly provide my silliness could provide, but I hope it's helpful or interesting to folks out there. And we're just going to keep doing the damn thing. We enjoy it, and we enjoyed sharing our nursing goofiness and our fun stories. And yeah.
And some of it is really just us like storytelling and venting and recounting experiences. But I think that that's really important in nursing because it is so high stress. We need to find ways to laugh. We need to find ways to realize that we are having kind of a collective experience, even though we're on our very own journeys. But you know, maybe the only value some days is that people get to, laugh a little bit. But I think that that's still a really valuable commodity. in a world where, like, sometimes we cry in our cars on the way home. At least I know I do some days. So, yeah. And I want to encourage people again to reach out to us if you would like to be a guest on the show, if you have ideas, things that you'd like to hear us talk about. You can email at medroomchronicles@gmail.com. We've also got medroomchronicles.com and, like, a slew of social media. Happy nursing, everybody.
Here at Medroom Chronicles, we may be uncensored, but we are not unfiltered. Protected health information has been changed and concealed to comply with HIPAA of 1996. The things we talk about are combinations of years of experience with thousands of patients, things we've read, stories we've heard. If you think we're talking about you, trust me, we're not. Also, we're real nurses here to provide accurate and helpful info, but don't take us as fact without doing your own research. Refer to your state's Board of Nursing, Practice Acts, and your institution's policies and procedures if you have questions about your practice. Lastly, our very strong opinions are ours alone and do not reflect those of our employers or educational institutions. Thanks for listening, and happy nursing, guys.